and thank you for tuning in to the Stuff I Heard podcast. I'm your host, Joshua Peak. And we are survived the July 4th weekend. We had quite a lot of fun over at our friend Dan and Lori Shaw's house. We got to see their kids and their husbands and their grandkids. And some of our good friends, Karen and Mark, came all the way from Ohio to visit. And we had a great time. We got to spend a few days together just hanging out at the pool. It was really nice because everybody took turns cooking. Normally, we try to do something really cool. I'm getting a weird feedback fuzz. You guys hear that? Where's that from? I'm trying to find where it's coming from and get it to stop. Anyway, sorry about that. What is fuzzing? What is that noise? Can you guys hear that? I know if somebody's listening right now, they're like, what are you talking about? Oh, here it is.
This is causing it. I got some wires loose.
There we go. Got it. You good? Okay. Here we go. Okay. Make this thing go away. There we go. Okay. So anyway, our friends came to visit and it was good to see them. We had been on vacation to Sandals, Grenada before with Karen and Mark, and that was a great time. And it was really fun to hang out with them again. But we got to share some cooking responsibilities. Whenever we get together, it's kind of requested that I make some smoked salmon on the pellet grill. And I'm having a little bit of issue with the pellet grill right now. I originally bought this thing years ago. I mean, years ago. It's kind of old now, as far as grills go. The original electric board that sits on the front that controls everything was just a standard board. You push the buttons, it comes on, you turn it up and down, and that sort of thing. And I wanted to be fancy. I wanted to upgrade to something a little better, mainly because it seemed like every time we wanted to cook something, I was having to run outside and get in the rain or get in the heat or get in the cold or whatever the situation was. And just opening and closing the door was kind of a pain in the neck. You know, if I needed to turn it up or down, I was constantly going outside. And I thought, you know, there's got to be an easier way. There should be a way for me to do this, you know, from the comfort of my home and monitor the temperatures and monitor what's going on. And sure enough, technology moved around to where Gorilla Grills had come up with a Wi-Fi system, as many of the grill companies had. Trigger had done it, you know, and everybody else followed suit after that. But the one thing that I liked most about Gorilla Grills when I purchased it was that it was made for Minnesota weather. They had made it with a double-walled insulation so that if there was cold outside, you weren't using too many of your pellets to try to heat your meat or whatever it is you're cooking. The way the system would work is it had a double-walled insulated barrel so that not only do you have the outside barrel, but you have an inside portion of metal as well that kept that heat inside. So in theory, you wouldn't burn as many pellets. Well, I like that idea. And when I was comparing them, everybody was saying, you know, oh, well, most of these pellet grills are pretty much the same. And I got to tell you, after ownership, I agree. I think that you're probably going to have just as good a cook as if you got one from Walmart, a real cheap one, and just, in my opinion, stay away from the cheap pellets. The pellets are the thing that tear your grill up the most. They're the thing that people don't realize comes with some work, okay? A lot of people think, oh, you just have a pellet grill, you throw pellets in there, and you just push the button, and you're done. It's sort of, okay? The problem is those pellets are sawdust. It's sawdust that's compacted, and I don't know how they bind them together, whether it's glue or whether it's some kind of membrane that goes around the outside that holds them together. But as soon as moisture gets to them, they puff up and they clog everything up and they harden. And they can form like a barrier between your auger area and your bin where the pellets sit. And if nothing can get in there, nothing can burn. So that becomes a problem. Also, I found out that cheap pellets are made with something called Adler wood. Adler wood is a very fast-burning type of wood that burns super hot. and creates a ton of ash, which means you've got to clean your grill more often. And so as the time has gone of using this grill, you know, I like the fact that I have this grill, and I like the fact that they offered up a Wi-Fi board that I was able to update it with. I've had some customer service things that I've needed help with, and they've sent me parts for free, which I really like. You know, I had some rust on the cabinet doors, and I reached out to them and said, hey, you know, I got this rust. Is it okay if I spray it with this stuff? Is it going to hold up, or should I sand it first and then put this Rust-Oleum stuff on it? Or, you know, what do you think? And they were like, oh, don't worry about it. We'll just send you two new doors. I was like, for real? I mean, that was kind of cool. And I've already been on the Facebook page concerning my problem with my new Wi-Fi board. But let me tell you what it's doing, okay? So once I installed the Wi-Fi board, I was able to turn it on and sync it up with my phone with my Wi-Fi at the house. And it's worked pretty flawlessly with my phone. I can turn it on, I can turn it off, I can turn it up and down, all that stuff. I can set it for different time periods. I can set it for temperatures. I can do all kinds of things with it. It's pretty neat. The one thing I can't do now is I can't use the buttons on the outside to turn it on and off. That one button just doesn't work anymore. I don't exactly know why. But I got on a Facebook page, and I was talking about it recently, and they were saying, oh, well, I've had that similar problem, and I reached out to their customer service, and they sent me a new board, a new faceplate. They don't need a new board. It needs a new faceplate. The faceplate, something's wrong with the faceplate. So I'm going to attempt that, you know, just to get that replaced. But yeah, so, you know, I guess if I had any advice for anybody out there, it'd be, you know, buy whatever you can, enjoy it, learn to cook on it, do some research, look at YouTube, watch people's videos, hear what they say about their customer service, hear what they say about how much they like owning the grill. If you don't have a lot of money, you can pick up one on Facebook Marketplace. A lot of times people will sell one cheap just because they were gifted it, and then they're like, I'm never using that. I use charcoal, or I just use gas, or whatever the situation is. And you could probably find one really cheap. I mean, I just perused last night, and I could see a couple that were like $75 and $50. So, I mean, they're out there, and you can get them pretty cheap. Now, my other advice is, if you're going to cook on it, once you season it and once you cook on it, clean the auger out. Clean the bin out where the pellets sit. Clean them out as much as you can so that while it sits, those pellets that are in there don't expand and puff up and clog up your auger. And then once you get ready to cook, have you a nice Tupperware dish, which I have a Tupperware bin that I hold, a bucket, if you will, with a lid. And it's got a cat scooper for the, you know, how the cat litter has the little scooper. It's got holes in it. I can scoop the pellets and then shake it. And that way, none of that sawdust stuff gets in my grill. So I get to clean it as I go using the pellets. And I had gotten that through Facebook page of grilling. People had commented on that's what they learned works for them. So anyway, if you're going to do that, that's my recommendation. Okay. I'll be honest though. I would like a gas grill to back it up. We had carried this grill over to Danny and Lori's house and got it set up and was going to cook on it. And I couldn't turn it on because I couldn't connect to their Wi-Fi with the grill because the grill wouldn't turn on. The whole thing was the grill wouldn't turn on to get power. If I could have got the grill to turn on with that button, I could have synced it up with my phone with their Wi-Fi, and then I could have cooked from there. I took it over there basically for nothing. I had to use Danny's gas grill, which was fine. I was still able to cook the salmon on it. It just, to me, it didn't have the same flavor as the wood pellets would have given it. So, you know, moving forward, I need to get the board fixed, and I need a gas grill for when I want to have things hotter. And I'll give you an example why. To me, the pellet grill has a good flavor for things like fish and chicken and steak and pork butts and that sort of thing. And I really like the fact that I can cook it low and slow. But specifically for when I'm cooking steak, I like grill marks. I like that really hot, high heat. And it's kind of hard to get the same effect from the pellet grill. I can turn it up to 500 degrees and let it get super hot and try to sear it that way. I've watched my buddy Greg do this with a cast iron pan. He's heated up the pan on the grill and then, you know, cooked like sausage in the pan and then seared the steaks in the pan. And that's worked pretty good. But here lately, I'm cooking for not just me and my wife, I'm cooking for friends. And I don't have space on the grill for a whole bunch of cast iron skillets. And so, you know, a gas grill would be easier to do the sear. I could warm it up and cook it for the most part on the pellet grill and then switch it over to the gas grill and sear it. Get that sear that I want. That crunchiness on the outside. So anyway, that's grill talk. Anyway, I cooked salmon one night and then we had steaks the next night. I think Mark and Karen got the steaks and Danny grilled up a feast. And then the next night we had Korean steak tacos, Korean steak barbecue tacos. Ian cooked up this fantastic steak. I don't know what you call it, pieces. and seasoned them really well with this Korean barbecue flavoring. And then we had tacos and it was great. And it was great because, you know, it wasn't super expensive for us to buy a meal and cook a meal and then everybody, you know, pitch in. And then everybody gets to eat off of that. And it's way cheaper than going out to eat as a group. And we get to cook it like we want it. So everybody has a good time. Plus, we're still in our bathing suits because we were swimming and cooking and then we eat and then we get back in the pool and swim some more. So good time. Good time with everybody. I'm glad everybody got to come and hang out together and do the thing. So let's talk about some stuff I heard. Okay. There's a new podcast out. Of course, there's always a new podcast out. Isn't that the way it goes? Everybody has a podcast nowadays. Katie Sackhoff has a new podcast. For those of you who don't know, she plays Bo-Katan Kreese on The Mandalorian and Star Wars. She was the voice actor on the cartoon series Rebels and Clone Wars, and now she plays the live-action Bo-Katan. And she's great. She's been in many a movie, most of them science fiction. She was on Battlestar. She has done the Riddick series. I think she was in, I think, the first movie, Pitch Black. Yeah, fantastic actor, wonderful person. And now she has a podcast. It's called Blah, Blah, Blah. it was kind of funny because the first episode is her talking about how they came up with the name Blah, Blah, Blah and how she's just nervous about doing this. And she feels like she'd be a natural at it, blah, blah, blah. It is blah, blah, blah. Okay. But because of her connections to people, the very next episode is with actor, director, writer, Dallas Bryce Howard. For those of you who don't know, she is the daughter of Ron Howard, who played Opie on Andy Griffith's show, and he has directed many a award-winning movie. He has turned into quite the director. Her mother is an author. She's got some fantastic stories about her mother on the podcast. Really interesting. Her mother became a pilot, got her pilot's license at 16 years old. She operated a gun range. She was raised by her father by himself. And she, from my understanding, there was no sports for women in her high school. So she cut off all of her hair and went to play football for the boys team at the high school and convinced everybody to call her Charlie. And everybody went along with it until in a game her helmet was knocked off. And they were like, hey, wait a second. And she convinced the school board to start a track and field thing for women because she was like, I want to compete. I'm physical. I've been raised physical by a dad who's, you know, we do physical things, and she wanted to do more, you know. And it reminded me a lot of my mom. My mom growing up was very physical, and from what I understand, played baseball. She said softball wasn't available. She played baseball with the boys. And she said at one time she played football. Just because she was, you know, raised in kind of a rough house where you go out there and you prove yourself all the time. You're by your labors, by the things that you can do. And that sort of mentality, is impressive. Just the, not only the gumption, but the fortitude that it takes to go out there and compete and decide that the world is not going to be bigger than you. You're going to take it on. So very commendable, very cool. I just started listening to the podcast. So I'm liking it so far. I'm digging it. I started to watch The Witcher, the latest season that came out. It is the last season for Henry Cavill to play this character. And I really liked season one. Season two really didn't do anything for me. It just sort of moved the story along. Season one was fantastic, mainly because he embodied this video game character. A video game, obviously, that was super popular, but I'll be honest, I never played it. I saw commercials for it, and I thought that it was really cool the way they stylized him in the first season, the way his fighting style was, and the way they would fast forward events of him fighting because he was supposed to have this extra ability, this preternatural speed to attack things. And it was cool. Season two was okay. I mean, you know, it was like, all right, here, we're moving the story along. And, oh, look, there's a new thing that he can do. Oh, that's pretty neat. And you get to watch the other characters grow and develop and that sort of thing. And they move the story along. Season three so far, I'm a couple episodes in, and there's nothing about it that I really care about. I know that he's leaving the show. I know that there was a big hoopla over the fact that he's leaving the show. You know, I like Henry Cavill. I think he's an amazing actor. I think that he is the kind of guy that you want acting. He's a fan. He's kind of a nerd. He's a self-proclaimed nerd. He's a comic book fan. He's the fact that he gets to play Superman really geeks him out more than anybody. but he enjoys it and he's good at it. And he does the thing without doing steroids. He's like, yeah, they told me to do steroids. And I was like, no, I'm just going to go to the gym and work harder. he's fantastic as The Witcher. But this latest season, I just don't care about. I know that they're going to continue the story, but I guarantee you that the rating is going to drop so much that they're not going to be able to do it. So, I did watch Tom Segura's new comedy special. It's called Sledgehammer. And it is Tom Segura humor. There's a lot of people out there that when they hear that I'm a Bert Kreischer fan, they're like, oh, I don't like Bert, but I like Tom. I'm like, okay, fine, whatever. Listen, I've seen both of these guys live. I much prefer Bert over Tom. But I admire Tom's ability to understand the business of comedy and to understand the fact that he has an audience that he's grown through just relentless work. A lot of times people don't notice it because he doesn't talk about it, but I've seen what they've grown from him and his wife, Christina. They used to be on these talking head TV shows for VH1 where they got paid just dirt money to come on and make comments about things that they would see on videos, to building this empire of podcasts, the YMH Studios, which stands for Your Mom's House. That's their podcast. And now they have podcasts on their own. They have separate podcasts. They have group podcasts with other people. They've brought other talent in with them. Tom and Bert have Two Bears, One Cave. And Tom is brilliant. He is brilliant. This comedy special is great because, to me, it is some of the stories that I've heard him talk about recently. His father had passed away. There were some funny moments between him and his father. And it is the realization that life is hard and sometimes you have to laugh at the things that are hard. And that's in this. He gets in a very bad accident. He's hurt himself playing basketball with his friend Bert. They were having a dunking competition and he broke his arm and his leg. He finds the comedy in that, tells that. His wife falls down the stairs and there's a lot of comedy in that. His sons are growing up and learning to talk and learning to have their own personalities. And they're, listen, there's comedy in everything. There's comedy in our own lives. We just sometimes forget to laugh at the situations because they're so hard when we're going through them. And one of the things that all of my favorite comedians do is they talk about these things and go, this is the absurd thing. Can you believe this happened? And this is the thing my dad said, and this is the thing my kid said. And oh my God. But you gotta learn to laugh at these moments because they're going to go by so fast and you're going to look back at them one day and you're going to think, you know, those, even though that was inappropriate, that was a special moment for my life and for my kid's life and for my mom's life and my dad's life. And anyway, I thought this was his best special. I liked Ball Hogs. I liked Mosley Stories. I've liked all of them, but I think this is his best one. So, and maybe it's just because this is his most current, but I see him developing his skills. And I've seen him on tour. He's been on tour a tremendous amount. He's called this tour the I'm Coming Everywhere tour. And he's literally been all over the world doing this show, trying to develop this special, trying to develop this comedy show. And he said on the podcast with Bert, Two Bears, One Cave, he said, I think I'm done touring after this. I think this is it. I think I've toured so much that I'm never going to tour again. And that may be true. He may be in a position where he doesn't have to do it anymore. I mean, they're talking about developing movies, developing TV shows, doing a lot with the podcasts, doing the specials. He may be able just to make his own plans to do comedy wherever he wants. Maybe just hang out with Bert, maybe just hang out with Tom, maybe, you know, or not Tom, Joe. But, you know, he's one of those people that has a vision and goes for it and makes it happen. And there's a lot to be admired about that. So anyway, go check out Tom Segura's special on Netflix. It's called Sledgehammer. All right. I need some coffee. Hang on just a second. All right. So I used the powers of the internet to watch Guardians of the Galaxy 3 last night. And I got to say, this is the silliest one and also the most serious one. I thought the first one was great. The first one introduced us to Peter Quill, Chris Pratt as this Star-Lord character. It's pretty fantastic. I've liked watching all of these characters come together as a group and grow and become a team. The second one I thought was really stupid. but I get it. It's based on a comic book and his dad's supposed to be a god of some kind, but whatever. This one's interesting. The first half of this is just goofiness and silliness, and there's goofiness and silliness throughout this thing, but there's also a very serious storyline that has to do with Rocket. He's the raccoon looking character, and really the heart of the whole thing is around Rocket. I thought it was very smart the way they did it. They were able to show how the Guardians of the Galaxy grow and change over time and how different characters come into their group and become Guardians because that's what happened in the comic books. And they show that transition. They show how Groot changes. They show how Cosmo the dog changes and how Adam Warlock changes, how Nebula changes, how Drax changes. It's pretty great. It's pretty great. If you haven't seen Guardians of the Galaxy 3, I highly recommend whenever it comes on, whatever you can watch at home for free, check it out. You're going to like it. And then last night, I watched John Wick Chapter 4, The Baba Yaga. this movie, apparently, they were able to do this on a budget of $100 million. I don't know how they did it for that cheap. I know that sounds like a lot of money. $100 million is a lot of money. But, man, when you watch this, you go, how did they do that for $100 million? The video angles, the camera angles, the fighting styles, the coordination of attacks, I don't even know how to describe it. It is a ballet of violence. There we go. A ballet of violence. John Wick finishes up his story with this, the fourth and final movie. They made, so far, $432 million. good for them. This was fantastic. It's action-packed the entire way. There is heartfelt stories involved. There's a character in the movie, Lance Riddick, who passed away while making the movie, and they found a way to honor him multiple times through the movie for what he's given to the franchise and what he's the character that he's played through it. Bill Skarsgård plays an excellent bad guy. Just amazing character as the Marquis. Donnie Yen as Kane, this blind guy who's kicking everybody's butt. Ian McShane is wonderful. There's so many characters in this that are just fantastic. There's names in here I can't pronounce that were awesome. Shamier Anderson, amazing. Clancy Brown, did not expect to see him. Holy crap. Just tons and tons and tons of great actors in this. The physical nature of their fighting through the whole thing is tremendous. The story was great. The way they pulled it all off was great. Yeah. I thought it was amazing. It's going to be a long time before they can outdo something like this. I mean, it was just tremendous. Tremendous. The amount of people working on this is amazing. So, anyway, John Wick 4. I'm totally impressed. So, yeah. All right, so let me tell you about something else. Let me tell you about something I've been trying to figure out here along the way. How are we looking on time? Oh, we're good on time. Our kitchen sink's been giving us problem. Okay. We've been having a saga with our kitchen sink over the years that we've lived here. And we had an issue where the hot water was not coming out like our cold water was coming out. And it's sort of been that way since we moved in. And we couldn't quite figure out why. My neighbor, Paul, is a retired master plumber. He worked for Johnson & Johnson up in New Jersey for his whole life and did some home repair stuff on the side to kind of help make extra money. And I had him look at it with me one day. I said, you know, I don't want you to do anything. I'll do it. I said, but give me your expertise. What do you think? And he's like, well, something's in there clogging up the line. And I was like, well, yeah, but how do I problem solve it? How do I find it out? And he gave me some tips and I used them and they worked for a small time. And then it happened again here recently. This week, as a matter of fact, the water seemed to be fine. And then all of a sudden, one day this week, we turn on the hot water and it's barely coming out of the faucet. And I was like, what is going on? Why? So here's a little story. We are connected to city water and we've had to have our water line from the meter to our house, or from the turnoff valve to our house. We've had to have that worked on three times now where the pipe is bust. And It's either twice or three times. Anyway, in that process, I'm sure some sand or debris has gotten in the line. And I've had to go around to different faucets around the house and clean out the little filter that's on the end that you screw off the little cap on the end and, you know, take a little toothbrush and just brush it out, rinse it off, put it back in. And that's gotten some of the sand out of the little filter things along the way. But this is only in the hotline. So I watched this video. I went looking it up on YouTube to see if I could find a fix, because nowadays, you know, YouTube is used as a good resource for people to share information about how to fix things. So I typed it in there, how to fix your low water pressure in your sink, kitchen. And right away, this guy's video come up. His name is Fix It French. Right now, he has 4.1 thousand subscribers, and his video is only 5 minutes long, doesn't waste any time. He tells you exactly how to problem solve and fix it. And I used his method, and it totally worked. Now I have good water pressure out of the, both the cold and the hot side. Didn't take a lot of work. I had to use one wrench, not the same one he used, but I had to use one wrench and a little bucket to catch water and a flashlight, and that was it. And now I have good water pressure. And so I clicked on his channel. Like, I gave him a little shout out on the thing, and I gave him a shout out on Facebook. And if you guys want to follow along, you can find him on anywhere. But I clicked on his channel to watch more videos, and he's got a bunch of videos on there that are all about fixing things. And I watched him do several videos where he made things or fixed things, and he's great. He's way better at YouTube than I am. so shout out to Mr. French, Fix It French. you did a great job, and you helped me out, and this is what I saw YouTube as when YouTube was starting. My dad started making videos about how to fix things, and his mentality was, I live in Maine, my son lives in South Carolina. I don't know how to show him how to do this stuff here, but I can video it and put it online, and maybe he can learn from it that way. And so with that mentality, that's where it started for me, back in 2006. I think is when Dad started making videos. It was 2004, 2006, something like that. Anyway, so now Dad's, you know, up to 40,000, 50,000 subscribers, something like that. And he's just continued to fix things along the way and video it. And I started in 2011, pretty much doing the same thing. And here we are, trucking right along. I'm getting close to 7,000 subscribers now. So thank you to everybody out there who subscribed. I appreciate it. And I hope to learn to do more to help you guys out, because, you know, whether we realize it or not, this is the community we talk about. This is the, hey, I learned to do something and I want to share this information with you guys, and so that you don't have to struggle with it or don't have to lose a lot of money on hiring somebody to do it. And they're incompetent as well. They're probably watching the YouTube video going, how do I do that? Oh, okay, I can do that. So can you. So anyway, thanks to Fix It French on YouTube. Appreciate it. And go check out his channel. He's got lots of good, helpful stuff in there. I may end up redoing some shelves in my garage because he showed me a better way to have them set up. So but that's it. That's all I got for today. Okay. Hope everybody has a great week. Please remember, if you're out there driving, stay off your cell. Leave your cell phone alone while you're driving. Pay attention to what's around you. Okay. There's lots of craziness out there. I had to drive a semi truck to Hilton Head Friday to work a route. And I saw tons of people just going way too fast in the rain, messing with their phones, trying to text, watching movies. Just stop. Okay. Driving is dangerous. There's a lot of dangerous stuff going on out there. And, you know, we got to pay attention. We got to see what's going on. We got to keep our heads up, keep it on swivel. Okay. Watch out for other people doing the wrong thing, but once in a while we are doing the wrong thing. Okay. So y'all take care. Please remember, give us a shout out, rate, review, subscribe, share this with your friends, and tune in next week. We'll do this again. If you want to be on the podcast, you want to talk about something, let me know. I'd love to talk to you. Civil discourse is my goal. Building community is my goal. Making you part of the conversation is my goal. So, y'all take care. And as always, cue the cow.
Cue the cow. Moo, baby.